Shmuel al Perchav Beis. Okay, so it says Vayel Tav Misham Vayim Alenu Maras Hadulam Vayishmu Achav V'Chol Beis Achi Beis Avi Vayir Doi Lav Shama. So David HaMelech got out of there as soon as he possibly could. Now, this is referring to the Plishim, the area of the Plishim. After he had left Novir Aquanim, he got out as soon as he could and went to the Plishim. But after he got out of the Plishim, remember, by feigning madness and pretending like he was crazy, so he immediately got out of there. He went to the cave of Adulam, Yishmo Achav. All of his brothers heard about it, all of his father's house. They went to him there. Now, they were worried that the king Shaul was going to seek vengeance against them. That's what they were really worried about, right? So they didn't know what Shaul HaMelech was thinking. So they joined David HaMelech in his flight. But he escaped to Elav Kol Yishmo Tzok. There, anybody who felt pressed gathered to David, v'cholish shalom nosha, anybody who had any debts, v'cholish mar nefesh, and anybody who was bitter. V'elim lasar, he became their leader, v'yimo ke'arba meos ish, and there was with him about 400 men. Now, it seems like if somebody would look at this, they'd say to themselves, like, oh, wow, so he took people who had debts and was like, pretty much said, declare bankruptcy, come with me, so you can start all over. That's not the right thing to do, but we'll see later on that these people are like Avishai, his cousin, his nephew, right? Yoav ben Tzruya, his nephew. Those were the generals of his army. These were good people, but they were Torah scholars as well. They were pressed because they didn't have a lot of money. They were from Yehuda, and they weren't sure what to do with themselves. They also understood that David HaMelech was supposed to become king. By this time, it had become popularized enough that people knew about it. And they said, well, David HaMelech was supposed to become king, so let's go on his side. That's what Shmuel and Avi had decided, and that's the reason why. It is possible there were some wicked men. It just doesn't make any sense that David HaMelech would keep those people among them. We look at David HaMelech as a different person than most. He's not that type of person. Now, maybe he taught them how to do tshuva. Maybe he got them to be able to do things.
But David didn't directly either solicit them too, right? Like, he didn't say, like, everybody come if you have, like...
No, he never asked for it. It's people that gather to him. But in Divrei Hayamim, it says that they were the mighty warriors, helpers, and war that were armed with bows, etc. By looking it over here, it looks like, oh, all the people who had problems came to David HaMelech. But it's not like that over there in Divrei Hayamim. Now, it could be, again, because Divrei Hayamim is written for the greatness of the king David HaMelech, right? But nonetheless, it shows us that there's at least a stira. Because we're dealing with this for themselves, it looks like these are people that may have had issues in the past in Teshuvah, or they're people that really did work on themselves and became great people. It says, Ve'el David Misham Mitzpeh Moav. So he went from there to Mitzpeh Moav. Yomar HaMelech Moav, and he said to the king, Moav, Yetzin Avi B'imi Yitzchav, allow my father and my mother to be together with you, Adesher Eidam Ayasi Elokim, until I know what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. Because he really wasn't sure what the idea was, and that's that. Now, it's interesting that he said the word Elohim and not Hashem, Yudke Vavke, but anyway, and he brought them in front of the king of Moav, the entire time the devil was in the stronghold, he brought them to them to be able to make sure. Now, the reason why Tosis writes that is because since David HaMelech came from Rusa Moavia, Yishai was only two generations removed from the king of Moav, therefore it made sense to be able to send his father and everybody else over there to be able to go through. Maybe he didn't mention his brothers over here because the brothers traveled with him. It does make sense that they would be part of the 400 warriors or the 300, 400, 600 warriors that he had with him, and that's that. Unfortunately, it did not last very long. It says, Vayomer God Hanavi El David. God Hanavi said to David HaMelech, this is God Hanavi that we're going to see quite a bit in the future. He said, Lo Seish Matsuda, don't stay here. Lehu Vasel Chayaretz Yehuda. You have to go back to the land of Yehuda. So he went back, came to the forest of Chorus itself. Now, what was he worried about? God knew two things. Number one, Shaul HaMelech would find out where he was if he was staying in one land and not running around from place to place, and Shaul HaMelech would eventually get him. And number two, it's that the king of Moab did not like David HaMelech, and there was going to be something that was going to happen. If David HaMelech stayed there, he would have been assassinated by the king of Moab. So instead, God Ahoza told him, get out of here. Make sure you're out of here before that happens. That's exactly what happened. When David HaMelech left, Yishai and his wife, Nitzeves, were both executed by the king of Moab as soon as he had left. David's brother, Elihu, was able to escape, and he was able to flee to Nachash, the king of Ammon, who gave him refuge, even though Moab asked for him to return. But nonetheless, that was over there. That's why David HaMelech eventually gave a lot of help to Hanun, the son of Nachash, because of what he did for his brother. We'll see later on that Hanun did not accept that, but that's that. This also meant that David HaMelech was going to start his reign in the Malchus of Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda itself, which makes a lot of sense. Pasuk Vav, Vayishma Shaul ki no de David v'anashim v'shreito. Shaul HaMelech heard that David and the men that were with him had been discovered. They knew they were living around there. Yoshe b'givah tachza eshal. Shaul at that time was sitting in Giva. He was under a certain tree of a Ramah. But Chanisu B'yad, we had his spear in his hand, B'chov underneath of love, and all of his servants who were standing around here. He heard rumors, right? And that's the idea behind it. He was so angry that nobody had thought, he thought that people were rebelling against him. Why wouldn't you tell me where he is? But nobody knew that he had gone to Moab. Now he heard that he was all the way around Yehuda itself, and he's thinking that he's going around gathering troops in order to fight against Shaul. That's not what David was doing. David was running away, but that's why he was really upset. When we say Giva over here, under the tree of the Ramah, Ramah over here probably is not the city of Ramah where Shmuel and Levi lived, but rather at the height of the hill itself. It could be also that it's referring in some way to the home of Shmuel, realizing that Shmuel HaRamah was the reason why Shaul HaMelech was so alive. If not for that, Shaul HaMelech would already be dead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have killed him. But because Shmuel davened for him, says Rashi, that's why it says, at Ramah, right? That Ramah was so involved over here, and that's the reason why. Yosho Lavadov, I need some love. Shaul said to his servants, the ones that were standing with him, Shimura ben Yemini, listen to me, all Binyaminites, Kam l'kulcham yitim ben Yishai, Sados ukram l'kulcham yasim, Sari alof v'sari meos, right? Is the son of Yishai going to give you fields and vineyards? Is he going to appoint you captains of thousands? Do you think he's going to care about you? You're from Binyamin. Do you think he's going to care about you when he becomes king? Kikshartim kulcham alai, you all are rebelling against me. Ain't go less osnai, osni, nobody's telling my ear, nobody's opening my ear, because b'ni, in ben Yishai, when my son made a bris with the son of Yishai, ain't cholim ikem alai. None of you felt sorry for me. When my son took my servant and turned him into an ambush against me, like he did on this day. That's that. So number one, you could have felt sorry for me. You should have showed me some sort of compassion considering I'm the king. That's the one thing. Number two, nobody is sick with worry over my plight. You don't realize what David HaMelech is doing over here? Why are you not sick over me? Why are you not working overtime to be able to find the person who's trying to get me? If you really cared about me and you wanted me to be king, then somebody would do this. Number three, this is the sickness of Shaul HaMelech himself. He got so sick with jealousy, that's what ended up happening over here. Some say that even at this point, he paskened the Yehoshua was an enemy of the king himself, and Yehoshua should be put to death. He never went through with that, but that's what he said. Vayan Doi Gadomi, who needs of Abdeshol. Doi Gadomi answered, he was standing among the servants of Shaul itself, Vayomar. Rizis ben Yishai bo Nova, Elachim el Menachitov, I saw the son of Yishai coming to Nov, to Achimelech. Now, Doeg, just like anybody who speaks Lashon Hara, purposely told half the story. He told Achimelech, he knew that Achimelech believed David Amelech's story, that he was, doing a mission for the king itself. He also did that Achimelech had no idea that David Amelech was fleeing from the king itself, but he intentionally avoided saying anything. All he said was, he went to Nov, and that's that. Doeg didn't even want to say that David Amelech had come to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Mishkan at the time. He just said, he went to Nov, as if, yeah, because he had friends in Nov, not for any other reason, right? And that's the idea behind it. So, at that point, Achimelech asked Hashem for David through the Urim and Thummim. It said to us alone, he gave him supplies. That's Chareb Goliath Saplishti, us alone. Not only that, he gave him the sword of Goliath Saplishti. Not just any sword. He gave a real thing. He did not mention the bulmus. He did not mention that David Melech asked for the sword. Right? He just said just that, right over there. At this point, Doeg Gadol was known as a Mamre Beis Din. Right? He said that he told Shaul that only a king can ask for guidance through the Urim and Thummim. Nobody else could. Avner and Amasa, who's David's nephew, they both looked at him and said, that's not true. The Urim and Thummim could be done by a king, by a Beis Din, or for anything that the community needs. David HaMelech would be included in what the community needs. He was the general of the army and the son-in-law of the king. Certainly he'd be able to do it. But Doeg refused to believe that and said, no, it's only for the king itself. If he asked the Urim and Thummim, it must be he considers himself a king. As we'll see later on, there are many psukim that Doeg Adomi made, which were 100% wrong. This was one of them. That he paskened incorrectly, who could use the Urim and Thummim? Pasuk Yudal, Vayishlach HaMelech Ros Achim Melech Menachit Vakoh, Yves Kol Bisav Yivakoh Anem Shem Enov. So the king called over Achimelech and Achitub, the Kohen, and all of his house, the Kohanim. And there were no Vevokulim Elelech, and they all came to the king, Vayomer Shaul, Shmanna ben Achitub, Vayomer Yini Adoni. Shaul said, listen, please, O Achitub. And he said, of course, here I am, my master, right? What do you need me to do? Vayomer Yilav Shaul, and Shaul said to him, Lomik Shartim Alai, why did you rebel against me? Atav Ben Yishai, you and David HaMelech, b'sitcha lo lechem v'cherev, by giving him that bread and that sword, v'sholom Elohim, that you asked him, right, about God, that he can lie in wait for me and ambush me on this very day. Why would you have allowed that to happen? So Achimelech answered the king, v'yomer, and he said, he said the absolutely wrong thing, but he had no idea that he was saying anything wrong. Who in the world is more trustworthy to you than your son-in-law, David, the general of your army? He listens to everything you say. He's the most honorable in your house. Do you think today is the first time that I ever asked him a question from the Urim Etumim? I had no idea there was anything wrong, right, of any of this matter before. And Achimelech went on the defense and immediately said, again, the second to worst thing he could have said. The first worst thing is that he's the most trustworthy person in your house, right? Already, Shaul's like, aha, right, number one. Number two, I've asked him questions from the Urim and Tumim every time. Again, he held that David HaMelech needed it for the community, not because he was a king. But Doeg had already paskened that you could only do it for a king. So he said, that's the strange thing over here. And then it could be that he was also saying it was the first time that I did it. You have to reread the pasuk a little bit, but that's that. And then the other thing is, he said, I don't understand. What about the food? As he was about to say about the food, the fact that I was providing him with the provisions and the sword because it seemed like he was coming for you, Vayomer HaMelech. The king stopped him right there in Pasuk Tazayin. It said, "Most of us, Achimelech, Atovachu b'Zavicha, you have to die, Achimelech, you and the whole your father's house." Yomer Amelech l'Ratzim and Itzavim Olav. He said to the runners that were standing by him, "Sobuv Amisu Kwanei Hashem, go around, kill all the Kwanei Hashem. Gigam Yadim Yim David, because all their hands is with David. Ki Yadim Kivorechu, because they knew he was running away from you. Lo Galu was Aznai, they didn't tell me. Lo Avu Avdei Amelech l'Shalach Zayin l'Fkov v'Kwanei Hashem." But Avner and Amasa, who were the two servants of the king, turned to the king and said, "No. We're not doing it. Halachically speaking, you're not allowed to go against the king's orders. However, you are allowed to if it applies to commit an avera. A person allowed to say to the king, I'm not doing an avera for you. I'm allowed to do any, I have to do everything you tell me to do because you're the king, but I refuse to do it in such a case." And that's that, yeah.
So, is Shaul upset because Achimelech harbor David, or because he, like, not only did he give him shelter, but he helped him.
I think everything all at once. And really, because Doeg HaDomi is inciting him the whole time, saying, look, see, that was the real issue. It's that Doeg HaDomi was right there. From here, we see the power of Lashon Hara, how it kills everybody involved with it. Doeg HaDomi, Mamish, got in here, and Doeg was uprooted from this world and the next because of what happened over here, and it was a real problem. If you'll notice also in the pasuk, it says the word Azno.
Yeah.
Lugalo says no. Instead of saying the word azni, there's an old commentary that's brought down in the Medrash that says that it wasn't Shaul that said it, but it was the Ruach HaKodesh that was with him that said, their hand is also with David. They knew he was running away, but didn't reveal it to him, to Shaul HaMelech itself. And some say that there was a Ruach of folly, a Ruach of Tuma, since Shaul HaMelech was crazy at the time. He was hearing voices in his head that were telling him exactly that, but it wasn't actual Ruach HaKodesh
and
Nevuah.
And if he believes as the king that somebody's more of a Machlos, he doesn't need to...
So that's a question we're going to see later on. There's a Machlokas. When we get to David HaMelech with Avigail's husband, Neville, then we'll see if a Beis Din is needed to be convened in order to judge Morid B'Malchus. And the halacha is, yes, you do need a Beis Din involved. The Beis Din can be with the king itself, and the king can make the decision, but it does seem like a Beis Din needs to be involved in order to do Morid B'Malchus. Over here, you have a problem. The head of the Beis Din is Doeg HaDomi. So once you have Doeg HaDomi making his decision, it was very difficult to go against it. So Vayomelech LaDoeg. Now look at Doeg's name. Doeg's name is spelled with a Yud, right? Where that's the bad one. Sovata ufga b'kohanim. You turn and kill these kohanim. Vayisov Doeg HaDomi vayifkahu b'kohanim. And he killed every single one of the kohanim. Vayomelech Vayomelech shmoni v'chamisha ish no seifot bad. He killed personally 85 men who wore a linen eifot over here. So the Medrash says that he said, you already killed them with your tongue, said Shaul HaMelech to Doeg HaDomi, you might as well slay them with the sword as well. And Doeg did it himself. He did not ask anybody else to do it, which is absolutely crazy. Together, he killed the Kohen Gadol as well, Achimelech. Now again, the craziest thing about this is that Doeg HaDomi knew that Achimelech wasn't in on it. and he still killed him along with 85 people. Either he had convinced himself that what he had seen is absolutely the truth, or he was unbelievably evil. Unbelievably evil to do such a thing. It's one of the strangest things in the world as well, right? That's that. Once this happened, David Melch was already condemned to die, right? Because of what he was doing. If I'm going to kill all these people who are helping David Melch, certainly David Melch deserves to die. If David Melch deserves to die, that means that his marriage, together with everybody else, together with anybody else, is invalid. Which is also a psak, which is absolutely wrong. David HaMelech was still alive and married to Michal. But doi gadol mipaskin, if he's chayiv misa, then you don't have to worry about him being your son-in-law either. He's no longer married to Michal, and he took Michal and married her off to somebody else. No, because he's chayiv misa. It's like he's dead. That was doig's psak, and it's totally wrong. But nonetheless, that's what he paskined, and he said that's what you're going to be able to do over here.
Wait, in real life?
No, you cannot do that. Cannot do that. Every psak that Doig makes is wrong. When he paskined that he could speak Lashon Hara, when he paskined that he was Morid B'malchus, when he paskined that Achimel deserves to die with the 85 Kohanim, and when he paskined over here that Michal can marry somebody else, every single one was absolutely wrong. And we're going to see there's a bunch of other psakim. He was wrong about absolutely everything. There's Novir Kohanim, he killed the Ficharim, and then he killed all of Novir Kohanim, he killed them by the sword. Me'ish Vadisha, not only the men, the women as well. May Olav Adyonik, even the children and the babies, Shor v'chamor v'sel l'picharav, not only the shore, the oxen, the donkeys, and the sheep, l'picharav. Obviously, you see the contrast. Amalek, he has compassion and saves Agag. He saves their sheep. He saves their cows, right? At that time, the pasuk says, "Al ti tzadik harbe." Don't be too big of a tzadik. You know why? Because over here, he kills everything, and the pasuk says, "Al ti rasha harbe." Don't be too big of a rasha. This is absolutely ridiculous. And Reish Lakish learned from over here that whenever you act with kindness, that's unmeasurable, like the wrong way of learning kindness, you end up being cruel. That's what ends up happening to a person. If you show kindness to the wrong people, you will end up being cruel, as an idea over here. Now, Chazal say, Shol destroyed Nov to set an example. He hoped that people would hear this and be like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. We're never going to help David HaMelech whatsoever. Right? And that's that. It seems that he also knew that, look, they were children of Eli. Eli HaKohen had a curse. So maybe that's the reason why he was able to say, maybe that's the reason why he didn't have to worry about anything whatsoever. But that was a real problem. The Givonim worked for the people in Novir HaKohanim. They worked for the Kohanim that were there. When the Kohanim all went down, that meant the Givonim lost their job. The Givonim were always, always angry at Shaul HaMelech because of it. And in the end, we'll see what ended up happening. Right? He didn't even have to worry about what was happening with them, but that obviously was a problem. There was one child of Achimelech ben Achitub, Shmuel of Yasser. His name was Avyasser. He ran away by Yivrach. He was able to run away Acharei David, after David himself. Vayagid Avyasser to David, Yarek Shaul as Kohanei Hashem. Avyasser told over to David HaMelech that Shaul HaMelech had killed all the Kohanim of Hashem. Yomer David loved Yasser. Yadati Be'amahu ki Sham Doyego Adomi. I knew on that day. And I knew he would tell Shaul HaMelech. I know I'm the one who brought about the death of your father's house. David HaMelech, being the true chassid that he was, blamed himself for what had happened. He knew he was there and he should have known. Shvaiti, live with me. Al tira, don't be afraid. Whoever is looking for me is looking for you. You'll be able to help. You'll be a mishmeres together with me. You'll be kept safe together with me itself. Right? And that's that. You should know there is a whole halacha that comes from this. The Tzemach Tzedek, not the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but the original Tzemach Tzedek, who wrote Shalos HaTshuvos about 200 years before the Tzemach, before the third Lubavitcher Rebbe lived, he passes halacha that if you send somebody on a mission and the person dies, like let's say I just say to a person, hey, can you go to Jewel for me to go grab something to eat, right? And he goes and he's on his way to Jewel and he gets killed, like gets into a car accident and dies, I'm responsible for that. And it's as if I killed him. Because I sent him to his death, because he wouldn't have gone otherwise. Since the Tzemach Tzedek, we learned that from David HaMelech. David HaMelech blamed himself, and for that reason, in Sadi Heyom and Aleph, in Sanhedrin, Yishbi Benov, one of the brothers of Goliath, ended up getting the upper hand and was able to capture David HaMelech because of what happened with Novir HaKohanim, because he was somewhat responsible. He knew Doeg was there. He should have done something. It should have happened. Now, what should he have done? That's already a great kasha. Probably should have warned Achimelech. He should have told Achimelech, listen, I know you think that I'm a friend of Shaul HaMelech. I'm not. Okay, Shaul's out to get me. Be careful now.
Yeah, maybe you should have said something. Why should he expect them to slaughter?
Because he knew Doeg. He should have known because he knew Doeg. And that's exactly what David Melo said about himself. I knew Doeg. I should have said something. He didn't think that Doeg was going to be that evil, but he was. As we say, that Doeg's name was changed to Doeg, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was Doeg, was worried, how in the world is this guy going to be in this world? This person is a tremendous Talmid Chacham. But it is absolutely crazy. The Chidah says, anybody who reads this chapter and reads about Shaul HaMelech, their hairs should stand on end, right? The less said about it, the better. That's how crazy it is. Because it really is an unbelievable thing that Shaul HaMelech did this and still got into Olam Haba. Doeg did not. But it's absolutely crazy. Even Shaul HaMelech himself was afraid of killing the people in there.
Yeah, but well, most of those bad Jewish kings that we read about later on all made it.
We're going to have to learn about that. Even then, we're always going to find something good about every king. There's something there. We just keep missing something. Okay, so Perakov Gimel. By Gidul David Lema, they told David, saying, Hine Plishim Lucham Mikila. The Plishim are waging war in Ki'ila. Vahima shows him as a Granos. They're looting all the threshing floors, all the different areas. Now, Ki'ila is a very interesting case, right? Number one. Well, first of all, David Melch shouldn't have cared about this whatsoever, right? But he already felt guilt for what had happened by Novi Arkwanim. Number two, he's from Yehuda. Ki'ila is in the land of Yehuda itself. So it says the Kliyak and the Meikara, you have these guilt feelings that he already had about himself, and he felt horrible about everything whatsoever. And then they weren't sure right over here what they were supposed to do. Aside from that, he wasn't sure exactly what this halacha would be. Is Ki'ila considered a Mochames Mitzvah? Is this a Mochames Mitzvah in which he had to fight, right, in order to go through? Should he participate or not? And for that reason, he felt that he had to ask the Urim V'Tumim. Is this halachically an area in which I'm going to have to ask if I should be involved with or not? Am I going to do something? So this is what he did. And he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, saying, should I go and kill these Plishtim? Go, kill the Plishtim, right? You will save Ki'ila. But then the men of David said to him, I understand. This is one of the Kal Vachomers that we mentioned in Tanakh. We're sitting here in Yehuda. We're afraid of Shaul HaMelech. Now we're going to go to Ki'ila to put ourselves at danger of the Plishtim themselves. They had two problems. Number one, how in the world are we supposed to fight against the Plishtim when we're afraid of Shaul HaMelech himself? Number two, if Shaul finds out where we are, he's going to come and get us, right? Why is that allowed? Why are we allowed to do it? So therefore, David HaMelech looked at them and said, guys, I just asked Urim V'Tumim. And they said, remember, Avyasser was the one who escaped Novi Arkwanim. Avyasser brought the Urim V'Tumim with him. So he for sure had it, right? So that's why it's Avi Yosef, David, Lisho, Bashem. So we asked again, go down to Ki'ila, I'm putting the Plishtim in your hands. Now again, it's just strange. Why wouldn't they listen? Why wouldn't they listen, right, when the Urim V'Tumim already said to go? They thought that David HaMelech was asking a personal question and got a personal answer. You should go down to Ki'ila and you should go save them from whatever was happening over there. But the men weren't involved, right? You didn't ask for the men itself. That's why David HaMelech then asked and said, should we go down, right? Lishol Bashem, he asked that second time. And then he said, yes, all of you should go down and you'll be succeeded over there. So again, it could be they were afraid the first time, the second time they were strengthened. It could be that there was no guarantee the first time, the second time there was a guarantee. It could be the first one was a private question, and the second one was a real answer. That's that. Now, if you notice, by the way, it does not say the words Urim V'Tumim anywhere in the pasuk, right? So some say that he did ask the Urim V'Tumim, that he straight out did it. The Ramban has a very different idea. The Ramban says great Gedolim know how to make their own Urim V'Tumim if they want to. And therefore, over here, it does not say that he asked the Urim V'Tumim, he asked the Ephod, right? And the Ramban says, you can make your own Ephod if you want. Any great man is allowed to do that and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu through it, and that's the idea behind it. Now, what was the big deal over here? So Erevin Mem Hayman Aleph says, there was a major question over here. This was on Shabbos. And here's the deal. The Plishtim were not killing the people. They were raiding the granaries, but they weren't harming the people. Normally, it would be usher to fight them, right? If they're just raiding granaries and they're not killing anybody, if it's Shabbos. So why were they allowed to fight over here? Because it was a border city. And a border city, you're allowed to fight even on Shabbos, right? And that's the reason why he was asking, should we go ahead and fight in such a case? Let me show you where Ki'ila was. If you look right over here, please run. Ki'ila is right over there. Because it was near Gas Ekron and everywhere else, that's the reason why he was afraid. Maybe we should go ahead and do this in this case. Okay. Fine. That is that. Now we have Pasuk Hey. Right, David and his men went to Keilah. They fought against the plishim. Right, and they led away their livestock. They gave them a huge hit. And he was able to save all the people around here. If you notice, by the way, Ba'anoshav is spelled without a yud. See Ba'anoshav? No yud there. Why? Not everybody went. David only took certain people, like a handful of warriors, to be able to go through. He didn't want to be known as coming with a whole army going against the plishim. Why? Number one, maybe Shaul wouldn't hear about it, right? Number two, he wanted to show that he was only willing to help. He didn't want to fight this war for them. He didn't want to make sure that the war was going to be fought by the people. David, Keilah, Ephod Yorbi Adel. When Yasser ben Achimelech came to David, to Keilah, he brought down the Ephod with him. And again, some say it was the Ephod with the Urim and Tumim, some say it was just the Ephod. He didn't even know the Urim and Tumim was with him, but he brought an Ephod. But Yigal Shaul, Pazuk Zayin, it was told over to Shaul, Kivah Dov Keilah, David had come to Keilah, Yor Shaul. Now, Nikar Oso Olu Kimiyadi, oh, God has put him in my hands, Kinishka Levobi Ir Zol Sayin Bobriach, because he's closed off in a city that has locks and doors. So he's going to be locked up in the city. Shama Shaul is called Amle Wachama, Lorenis Keilah. So Shaul got his whole people together to go to war against in Keilah, Letzur El David El Nashav, to siege David and his men. He did not tell them why he was going down to war. He brought all those people together and told them the plishim are at Keilah, right? So everybody's like, oh, we're going to fight the plishim. Only later did he tell them, when they were already ready to go, by the way, we're fighting David HaMelech and everybody around him. David knew that Shaul was planning evil against him. Please bring me the ephod as quickly as you can. Okay, so that's what happened over here. It is so interesting how Shaul Melech Mavishvalu was Mina Shemayim that he should chase against everybody. Isn't it unbelievable? He Mavishvalu was Mina Shemayim that everything was there from that reason. Okay. Vayomer David Hashem Elokei Yisrael. David Melech said, Hashem the God of Israel, Shemo Shema Avdecha Kiyem, Bevake Shaul Lavo Keilah. I have heard that Shaul Melech wants to come to Keilah, Lashachis L'ir Bavuri, destroy the entire city because of me. Hayis Garuni, Bali Keilah Biyado, will the people of Keilah give me into his hands? Hayyurit Shaul Kasher Shema Avdecha Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Is Shaul really coming down like your servant has heard? Hagin Avdecha, please tell your servant, Vayomer Hashem, Yered. Hashem said, he'll come down. 2 points are supposed to be made about number one. You can't ask two questions of the Urim Betulim at once. David will just ask two questions. Are they going to put me in their hands? Number two, right, is it true that Shaul is coming down? Number two, if two questions are asked, only the first is going to be answered.
He knows the answer to the second one anyways.
No, he doesn't know. He heard rumors, but he doesn't know if Shaul is going to come. Is Shaul for sure going to come or not? Plus, he even said it out of order. First ask, is Shaul HaMelech coming down? Then say, by the way, are the people of Keilah going to give me into his hands? There were a bunch of problems with what he said. Yomer David asked, Giru Bali Keilah Osi. So he repeated his question. So are the Bali Keilah going to put me into his hands? Yomer HaShem Biyad Shaul. Yomer HaShem Biyad Giru. Yeah, it will happen. And that's the idea. So we asked him two questions. You have to be very careful. From here we learned that you have to be very medactic in your words of tefillah. Don't say anything extra. Say everything with the right concentration, because when David HaMelech did it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't answer him the way it was. About 600 men went with David. They left Keilah. They went wherever. They didn't have a specific plan, they just left. Shaul was told that David HaMelech ran away from Keilah. He said, you know what, forget it. I don't have my whole army yet ready to mobilize against David. They thought they were fighting against the plishim. Right? I'm not ready for that yet. There's no way. Okay, so here's the problem. Didn't the Urim HaTumim just say, Yered?
Yeah.
And didn't the Urim HaTumim say, yeah, they're going to give you over to their hands? How could the Urim HaTumim say something that never happened? So there's two ways of answering it. Number one, free will and God's knowledge of events do not have an issue with one another. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how every event will unfold, right, does not mean that you can't have free will. When David HaMelech got himself out and walked away, and Shaul HaMelech decided I'm not going anymore, that doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrong, Chas V'Shalom. It's that free will can trump what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said originally is going to happen. That can happen at any point, because people have free will and they have the ability to do it. If you hold that free will only works in accordance with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original plan, that no man can go against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally wanted, then it might be The Urim V'Tumim is not telling you what would actually happen. The Urim V'Tumim is saying what the intention of what would happen would be. If you stay, yes, Shaul will come down. And if you stay and Shaul comes down, they will give him into his hands. That's what it was saying. But not that it actually happened that way. It says in Pasuk Yedalot, So David lived in the desert in certain fortresses. And he sat in the har. He was looking for him. And every time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let him get into his hands. He was sitting quietly or in the wilderness of Ziph, making sure he wouldn't be there. At this point, he had written Perek Yud Aleph in Tehillim. That's what he composed that. He went to the forest. So Yonason obviously had sentries around David, but they knew that Yonason was a friend. And he strengthened his hand in God. Right? My father is not going to find you. So you will be king over Israel. I will be your second in command. He didn't know he was going to die yet. But even my father, Shaul, knows this. Chazal say that Yonason was one of three people who were unbelievable on nothing. Look what he just did. Look at how he's willing to give up. This also shows the true love that Yonason had for David and Melech and how awesome they were. That's that. Okay. They made a bris. And by the way, Yonason heard the prophecy of Doeg Adomi. No, the psak of Doeg Adomi. The only person who can ask the Urim V'Tumim is a king. When he heard that David HaMelech had asked the Urim V'Tumim three times and was answered all three times, he said, "You are the king." Not realizing that's not the psak. Mayalu Zif Lel Shol. And the Zif then came to Shol and Pasuk Yotas. Hagiva also to Giva. And saying, "Hello, W. Sateri Manuva, but Sandos Bachorsha, he's staying in those areas, but give us a Chachila, Shemimina Yeshimon, right by the right side of the Yeshimon." Now, it's crazy. The Zipim were exact in their detail. They were Yehuda. They were from Yehuda itself, and yet still they gave him over here. It's unbelievable. So he wrote Tehillim Yud Aleph and Tehillim Nun Dalet because of what the Zipim did over here. They were called Zipim because of the word Mizuyafim. They were into deceiving, misrepresenting with their words, and that was a problem right over here. He couldn't believe it. David HaMelech knew that the Zipim were from Kalev and Yevuna. He thought for sure they were going to be okay with this, but unfortunately that was not what's going to happen. Now, the Zifim said, in any way that the king wants to go down the little as Giru. Yeah, Melech will give him over into the hands of the king. We'll even be involved. Yerushal Baruch Hashem, Hashem, you're blessed to Hashem, Kichal Altam, Allah, you have taken pity on me. L'chuna, Achidu, also owed. Go now, prepare more. Uduru, what's with Komo? Go find out exactly where Spilish Shetia Raglo, exactly where he's going to go. Mira Ohusham, who saw him there? Kiyamar Eli, Arum Yarim, who? He's very tricky. Make sure you know exactly where he is. Check out all the different caves where he hides over there. Tell me exactly where to go. And then I'll go with you. If he's really there, then I will search for him throughout all the thousands of areas of Yehuda. He just said, be careful. So they went. They went to Ziph. In front of Shaul Melech. This is the Zifim themselves. They were on the right side of Yishimon in Moon Barava. Okay. David Melech found out about him. He went down to the rock. Right? And he sat in the desert of Ma'on. And therefore Shaul Melech heard it. And he chased after David all the way to Midbar Ma'on. You can see it right over here. The wilderness of Ziph is right there. They went down to the Midbar Ma'on. Right? Some say the Radak says they went to the rock into a valley from which he climbed onto a rock. The Abravanel says from the rock down into the wilderness. Let's finish off this parak. Pasuk Chav Vav. So now it seems like it's it. Shaul Melech is on one side of the mountain. David is on the other side of the mountain. David HaMelech was hurrying to try to get away from Shaul. Shaul and his men surrounded David and they wanted to capture them. And at that moment, Melech came to Shaul Lamor and said, "Mahara, quickly, Valecha, get out of here. The Plishtim have spread out upon the land itself." In Tehillim, Kuf Tes Zion. Pasuk Yud Aleph. David HaMelech called out and said, "Amarti b'chavzi kol adam kozev." I said quickly, "All men are liars." Shaul HaMelech promised me that I would become king. He said, "I have no way out of this. There's no way." Shmuel HaNavi promised that I'm going to become king. He said, there's no way I'm going to get out. How in the world could Shmuel have guaranteed me that I would become king? All men, even Shmuel Navi, is a liar. Kadosh Baruch Hu answered him, right? David, no. I promise you, Shmuel's Nevuah will come true. And at once, a messenger was sent to Shaul to tell him what was happening with the Pelishtim. The Ralbag says his onesh for saying such a thing was his anguish and thinking that he was going to die. He didn't get anything more than that. Some say there was a human emissary, a human malach. Others say it was an actual malach, right? Because otherwise, no human malach would have actually said, quickly go to the king. You would never say that to the king itself. The fact that he said, quickly go, means that it must have been an actual malach who did it. And we'll finish off. Pasuk Chav Tes. V'yashu Shaul mir dovach rei David. Shaul went back from chasing after Dava. Yelchil cross Pelishtim, went to go grab the Pelishtim. King Karol Makom who selamach l'kais. That's how they call it. The rock of division. Why? The Yodizim of Zil says, Shaul HaMelech's heart was split. He wanted to respond to the news about the Pelishtim, but on the other hand, he wanted to go fight against David HaMelech. He didn't know what to do. He was split. Others say, no. It was split between his men. There were some people, like Doeg Gadomi, who said, go after David HaMelech right now. Don't worry about the Pelishtim. Other people said, no, go after the Pelishtim. The Pelishtim are more important than David HaMelech. That the men were split from over there. David was able to get up, and he went to the area of Ein Gedi. The wording of Vayal David is that he had an aliyah from this, that because he had a miracle performed for him, right, he was elevated in status. Any time that David HaMelech or his people went back to that area, this area right over here, by the area of Ma'on right over here, which they went to Ein Gedi eventually out right over there, any time that they went to that area, they made a bracha, that a miracle happened for them in that place. Because it was truly a miracle, especially if a Malach came, right, that they were able to get away. All right, we'll stop with that one on Perek Chaf Dalet.